time, please. That's one. Blessed. Thumbs up. I'm blessed. Thumbs up and blessed. Okay. Well, good morning. I'm blessed too. Thank you for asking. Is this in Chinese? Oh, it's upside down. Okay, so. Upside downese. Okay, so. Couple important things. One, we had the youth transformed yesterday, which you guys will see here shortly. And you want to talk about success? It was a success. But we'll get there in a moment. Number two, today is Super Sunday. So for all elementary kids and you, you are welcome to go downstairs. I think it's all elementary and below. Yeah. Kids will be downstairs for the whole service. And if you have a desire to help out in any way, you're welcome to go down there as well. So tonight is worship night at 6 p.m. Who's going to that? So tonight, 6 p.m., come here and we'll worship the Lord together and just have a good time in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. I'm excited for that. So if we could stand together. Sarah has something to say.
I just wanted to announce that Couple Cell tomorrow night is at the Honer's house. It's a fun night. We're watching the Seahawks, so bring a dish to share if you're a couple or whatever. And if you need directions, get with Tyson or Angela after church, and it starts at 5:30. Oh, they're up there.
If you need directions, Angela, Tyson. They will tell you how to get to their house. Okay. Well, I want to share what the Lord shared with me yesterday for the transform for the students, and that was to be very careful not to base our decisions on what we see with our eyes, and to know that God does a work within our hearts, and it's from the inside out that he changes us. It's from the inside out that he touches us. This morning, it's from the inside out that we experience him. Can we experience him in the physical? Absolutely. Is there evidence of his presence? Absolutely. But if you go around basing upon your feelings and upon what you see with your eyes, you're going to miss out. And he doesn't want us to miss out. He does not want us to miss out. He wants us to receive everything he has as his son and his daughter, right? I mean, there's a whole world of eternal riches at the very end of our hands. Not man-made riches, not worldly things, but eternal heavenly riches at the very reach of our hand if we would just allow him to move in us and get past our own ideas, our own understanding. So this morning, we need to apply that, not just for worship, not just for hanging out together and worship, but even as we leave here, we need to apply and be excited for what he's doing in us. Be excited and ask for eyes of faith. Father, pray with me. Father, this is your morning, Lord. And we just pray right now, God, you would open our supernatural eyes, Father. Forgive us, Lord, when we have looked with our natural eyes, looking for certain things, God, knowing that you're the King of all kings, the Lord above all lords, that your ways are higher than ours, and Father, that your standards are so much higher that we should look to you and not look around us. So, Father, open our eyes as we worship you this morning, Father, as we give all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing. Okay, hold that thought for a moment. I've been experiencing this all morning long, and I don't think it's any surprise of what Josh was sharing, what the Lord's put on my heart. And I want us to not believe what we see and not live by what we see. It's so easy right now to just look around that it's a bunch of humans gathered together in a building. But that's not what's going on at all, folks. What's happening is that spiritual beings who have the living God inside of them are gathering together, and I believe we're not just gathering together in a building. We're, by faith, gathering around the throne room of God right now. We're coming into the very presence of Abba Father. And it's not that we're even coming into that. We're here, but when we gather together, we're here in force. And so when we sing this next time, when we say, I believe in you, don't think that you're saying it from earth to some place millions and millions of miles away. However your brain has to deal with that. Picture that you're right there before the Father, right there before the Son, Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit inside of you is empowering you to communicate with love and with truth that you believe in Him. That you're not going to believe what you see with your natural eyes. You're going to believe the Word of God. You're going to believe by faith. You're going to believe by faith that He who is in you is greater than anything else in the world. That's because He lives in you. And right now we're experiencing being with Him together as a body, as a family of faith. Amen? Let's do that again.
says, rain down all around. Rain down. Can you hear the earth singing? Rain down, rain down, rain down. What does it truly mean for him to reign in your life? What does that look like? That doesn't mean Jesus is going to reign over here on Sunday and you're going to put him in the closet on Monday. That means he's going to rain down all over the place. Everywhere in your life, he's going to rain down. He's going to rain down at your workplace. He's going to rain down at your home. He's going to rain down when you're in the car. He's going to rain down when you're walking in the grocery store. He's going to rain in your life everywhere. What's that look like to you? God, I want you to rain down everywhere. God, even when I'm by myself driving down the road, Father God, I want you to reign in my life, Father God. Every shadow, every dark place, Father God, I turn over to you, Father God. Rain down all over us, Father God. As we bring this song back up, if that struck a chord in you, I want you to just say, okay, God, just rain down over me. You don't have to come up. You don't have to do anything. You just need to say, okay, God, I'm ready.
Down. Thank you, Lord, that you do reign over us, that you reign over every aspect of our life. And the Lord is showing me the world that's spinning ever slowly on the axis. And there are people in our life that are in that world. And your world might be very small, but the Lord's hand is touching those people that we're hurting about. It doesn't matter if the people in your world are across the world, across the state, your neighbor. The Lord God has his hand on everyone we care about. So don't let the distraction, our concern of others, block the love and that flow that the Holy Spirit is sending into us. Because our God is a God that is great. And he is very, very, very perfect and caring for all. Any age, any size, anything at all that breaks our heart, Father is there. Thank you, Lord. There are three people here. No, it's five people here that are so broken because of the concerns of family members that has absolutely put up a wall between you and the Father. The Lord doesn't want this concrete wall made of brick or stone to separate you from his love. He wants you to know that he has touched every one of these people and cares far more for these people than you ever could. So he rains down in their life. If you will let go, he will rain down even more. So hear the words of the song, the Lord is in charge. The world is full of his glory. He rains down. He rains down. He will complete that which he began. His love is greater than anything you can imagine. He is majesty. And he rains down on his people. Thank you, Lord.
I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail,
dream the other night that I was visiting Lotta and Glenn, and all of a sudden the basement was flooding with water, and it was just so much water. We went down there to try to get it out, and we couldn't. We were using buckets. I remember using buckets to try to get it out through the window. And this is how God is. Don't use the buckets. Just let him overflow in your heart. Don't try with your own effort to stop him in any way. He's filling your heart. He's filling your life for a reason. He has rained down and flooded for a reason. So just take that in whichever way you need to today.
Surrender. It means I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to have my own way. I don't have to get in the way. Surrender is good. It's a good thing. All I am, God, I surrender. All I am, all I know, God, I surrender to you. Overflow every part of me, all the recesses, God. Have your way in me, God. Let that be your prayer today. All I am, Father, I surrender to you. And I owe you my life, God. And all I am, I surrender. Sing it again. And all I am, I surrender again. And all I am,
Something great happens when we surrender to God, and that's that he takes away our fear. If we have fear, I heard someone say, if you have fear, it's because you're putting your faith in the wrong kingdom. So Lord, this morning, we put our faith in you. As we go forward, God, we put our faith in you. We're no longer going to let fear reign in our lives, Lord. We're not going to put faith in the wrong kingdom, God. We're going to place our faith in you and you alone. And Lord, as you break the chains of bondage and fear off of our lives, God, those lies that have come against us, God, the environment of freedom is going to explode in here this morning, God. And we're excited.
So God, we put our faith in you. Thank you. Thank you, God.
The Spirit of God is so thick right now. When Barb shared, she said there's five people that are struggling with some things. Five is the numerical number of grace. And there's some people in the room, I don't know how many, but you haven't received God's grace because you're fearful. You're putting your trust in the wrong place. Maybe you've served God before and you've walked away and you don't feel like you're worthy to come and to his presence. You got to fix everything up and make yourself good and then he'll accept you. But church, he loves you just the way you are. A mess and all. I'm serious. God's grace wants to reign in your life today. So I want us to all close our eyes. Worship team and everything. Dear Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence to fall, Father God, on the hearts that are weary, Father God, on the hearts that are fearful, Father God, on the hearts that are scared, Lord. God, I pray that your loving arms will wrap around them, that they will tangibly feel it, Father God. Daddy, we ask you right now to come and comfort your children. If that's you, I want you to shoot your hand up when I say three. One, two, three. Jesus. God loves every single one of you. And he wants you to know that no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, he's got your back. I'm always scared to do some altar calls, but those of you that raised your hand, it takes a step of faith to kind of lock it in and seal it. And I'm going to ask you to come up here and meet some of us to pray with you. If you raise your hand and you don't want to come up, that's all good. That doesn't mean Jesus doesn't love you. But he really wants to love on you today. Your heart's beating. You're scared what the person next to you is going to think, but don't worry about it.
You out there, whether you have the feelings, whether you're prompted in your heart, you're not sure, you should be up here, you shouldn't, you know God's love, you don't. I want to do one thing, and that's pray with. Together we should all, we're a praying family. God has created us a praying being, a spiritual being first, and we need to allow our spirit to rise up right now in agreement with what's going on in the atmosphere. And so on top of that, as we're praying, we need to understand that our belonging to God is not based upon how we feel or things we've done or haven't done. That never qualifies us or disqualifies us. It's important to understand that his love abounds, okay? And when you mess up, guess what? His love abounds even more. It says where it's the darkest, the light shines the brightest. So don't think that you got to earn something or even that you can. Or don't think that you lost something or even that you can. It's, if it was up to us, we wouldn't be here. The blood of Christ is sufficient for all those who will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The blood of Christ says you are a child of God, that you were made in His image, and that you need to hear this morning. The blood of Christ gives you your value, not what you did or didn't do, will or won't do, thought or didn't think. It's the blood of Christ Jesus that was poured out without measure so that you could live a free life, so that you could be a being of love. The blood of Christ cancels out the lies and the fear that the enemy would wish to impose upon you so that you could be a prisoner and believe that you're not beautiful, that you're not worthy, that your mistakes have disqualified you. The blood of Christ literally wipes that away. Do you choose to receive is the question. Because you're loved and you're valuable whether you believe it or not, but do you choose to receive it? Because in Christ, you are not guilty anymore. You are not guilty anymore, and you need to hear that because it's the truth. Spirit of the living God, rain down in this place. I know you're already here, but I pray that our hearts, that our minds would be captured, would be wiped clean with the blood of Christ as we literally lay everything, Father, that is of us. We lay it on the table. We lay our hearts on the table. We lay our minds on the table. Everything we've done, thought, or said that is not of you, we lay it on the table. And the things that we have done that are of you, we lay them on the table because we want the new, the rivers of living water, the new life, the refreshing, not the old. Yesterday's man is good, but it ain't feeding me today. I need the new. I need the blood of Christ in me to pump through my veins to clarify that I am still a child of God today, even though yesterday I did something foolish. I need the new. I need the fresh wind.
Glenn and I have really been spending a lot of time with the Lord, and Glenn said, I think maybe it was even this morning, that, you know, when we are in class and we raise our hand, we're asking permission to speak. But when we raise our hands to the Lord, we're asking Him to come in and change us and be in us. And I just felt really heavy in my heart this morning that the Lord, we needed to hear this song as a body, because we are one body, and we all have parts, but we need to have this revelation that this perversion that we think that we own is not ours. It's we need to break that off. They're chains and they're heavy, and we don't need that garbage. You know, we aren't guilty anymore. The things that happened in the past, the things that we think hold us back from God, that we're not worth it, that we don't deserve it, but we're children of God,
And we do deserve it. He's allowed us. He's adopted us in. And that makes us deserving of his love. He wants to give that to us. It's a free gift that he wants to just shower on us, to overflow. We can have it all, and it's for nothing. All we have to do is surrender. Just lift our hands up to the Father, and he takes it.
Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter where you've been. Hear me tell you, I forgive. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy. Broken anymore, you're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. Can you believe that this is true? Grace upon the I am giving you, cleansing deeper than you. Paid for long ago. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you. Mercy is yours. You're not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you. Mercy.
Here's a question. You hear the words of the song. Do you receive them? Is that song for you? I don't know what your answer is, but the answer is yes. If we're taking a test and you did not say yes, unfortunately, you did not pass that test. The answer is yes. You, child of the living God, are not guilty anymore. Based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, you, child of the living God, are not guilty anymore. On that note, we have some testimonies from the youth from yesterday, and what we're going to do is they took some time to write down a testimony resembling a cardboard testimony, and so they'll come up and I'll read it because some of the writings are small. So as they come up, I'll read it and we will celebrate what God is doing in their life. Selfish, spoiled brat, ungrateful. Caring, loving, thankful, blessed, all for Christ. I did not accept God in my heart. Now people have prayed for me, and I have prayed for myself, and now have God in my heart. I expected Transform to be just like church, where you get to just worship God. But then I got prayed for, and it turned out to not be like church. And when I got prayed for, it changed everything. Who I was my lifestyle. And the question marks say the doubt. That tells me there's doubt, right? There's unsurety. So who I was in my lifestyle. My identity is Jesus. Religion says do. Jesus says done. Perfect. I started from the bottom. Yep. And now am here. And there's a cross. Trapped in a glass house of choices and mistakes while drowning in lies. Jesus broke those walls down, wrapped me in his arms, and led me out of the mess. Turn this way for me, hon. I expected Transform just to be about praying and have people talking about God. Then once I was almost over, it was better than I thought. Again, I am just thankful for these youth that God has blessed us with and for him just being alive and present and obvious in their lives. And from the simplest of these statements to what seems like the most detailed, God is in every one of those. And when we approach him, in some of these ways, some of us might think, wow, you know, that's funny, it's cute. But God says we need to approach him as a child. That's how we need to approach him. So you read those and know that Christ is all over that and all over them. And that is real right there. So Awesome. So thank you, Father. And I'm going to pray just a faith to seal what was done in these youth here and in these your children, God, that as you are working in them yesterday and again today and will, Father, that you will seal in the perfect work that you have done, Father. And thank you so much, Lord, as you're raising up your children. You're raising them up for a time. You're raising them up and you're calling them out, Father. And I just pray, God, that they would know you in abundance, Father. Know you and know your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
With my hands. You're the fire that lights my way. You're the hope of all the nations. Be alive, be alive. You're the Lord.
I like to say things in the affirmative. He's alive in us, whether we sense it or not. I think the service and the words that have been spoken are not to believe what we see or what we feel. We're not guilty anymore. We're not broken anymore. We're healed. We're whole. But so many times we look in the mirror, we look at our life, we look at the situations, and we say, well, that's not true. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie that you're believing. Because you're letting the evidence of your life, you're letting the circumstances of your life, you're letting the decisions that you've made in the past dictate the truth. And that's not the truth. The truth is everything we're saying. He's alive in us. He's alive in us. So I'd like us to sing this for a moment. You're alive. You're alive in me. Sing it from the affirmative, that you believe it. That you're saying, God, I believe you're alive, but I'm going to say you're alive. And I'm going to live like you're alive in me. I'm going to live like you're with me all the time. I'm going to live like you're so close that there's no distinction between the difference of you, who you are and who I am. You and me, I and you, we're perfected in unity. That was Jesus' calling. That was Jesus' life. And we're to live no less than being in the Father. In the Son. You're alive. You're alive. You're alive in me. You're alive. You're alive. You're alive in me.
By faith, just put your hand on your heart.
You're alive. Father, we just release truth in this house right now. Not just this physical house, but these tents that you've given us to hold your glory. We release truth right now, God, that you're alive. We release the truth, God, that you are greater than anything they face, anything that's come against them, anything they've done, anything that has been spoken about them. Lord, that you're greater than that. That your word is that you love us. Your word to us is that you're for us. You're not against us. Your word to us, Lord, is that you have good in store for our lives. That even when the enemy comes and does things in our lives that looks like it's designed to destroy and kill and take away, Lord, you turn it into good. That is your truth. That is what we believe. That's what we choose to live by, is your word. We choose to live by you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, living in our hearts, dwelling there, taking habitation inside of us and speaking to us and leading us into all truth. We believe the truth that you will make us free when we receive your truth. That we won't live in bondage. We won't live in chains. We will live free. So, Father, we release your truth. We release the truth of God over our lives, over our hearts, over our minds. You are alive. You are alive. Jesus.
Nick's just going to play, and I'm just going to talk. Don't normally do this either, so it's Jesus for sure. Everybody that has your Bible, if you could turn to John chapter 8 with me, and we're going to read just for a little bit. And I'm going to be reading in the New King James Version. Oh, is everybody there? Okay. Good. John chapter 8, verse 1, and it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them." I don't know why I cry. "Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act, that means she was caught in the midst with another man that was not her husband. In the very act. So it's not like, oh, it came out, she did this 6 weeks ago, whatever. No, she was caught in the very act. She was caught in the grasp of sin. We're going to keep going into verse 5. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, Jesus? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground. This woman was caught in sin. This woman was caught in adultery. This woman was caught in one of the most nastiest, despicable things that you could think could happen to a marriage. She just stabbed her husband in the back. And Jesus is told, and he just stoops down and plays in the dirt. It doesn't even move him. This woman's nastiness doesn't even move him. He wrote in the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. It didn't move him. He didn't care. He just was, it doesn't say what he was writing in the dirt. He was just playing in the dirt for all we know. He could have been drawing a picture. So when they continued asking him, pestering him, look it. He raised himself up and said to them, he who's without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. We're going to pause for a minute. Just give my words to you, God. He didn't care. He wasn't moved by the fact that she was caught in adultery. He wasn't moved by the fact that she was in the dabbling in the things of this world. He didn't care. You know what? I struggled for a long time with some really nasty things in my life. For a long time. Bad stuff on the internet, we can all figure that out for what it is. For a long time, I didn't know what to do. I thought I was just scum. I thought that God was ticked at me. I thought he was mad. Struggled with it all the way up to my marriage. Gotta deal with this. Thought I dealt with it. Came back and I just smacked my wife in the face with it. Broke her. Thank God she looked to Jesus. God does not care where you're at in your life. He doesn't care what you've struggled with. He doesn't care what was thrown on you yesterday. He doesn't care what you're going to do tomorrow. Because trust me, when you say, okay, Jesus, that doesn't make everything go away. We still have struggles. We still have times where we're feeling really low. But we have the hope of hope and the King of Kings to say, you know what? Stand up, child. Let's keep reading. When Jesus had raised himself up and... Sorry, let me go back down. So verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest and even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She looks around. Because I'm sure that when she's standing in the presence of the king, her face is down. She is scared. She is nervous. She's so scared she's about to lose her life. Because they were so enthralled with the law. They were so enthralled with, no, you can't do this because this is not, that Moses said that was bad. But you know what? Jesus, when he came and he hung on that cross, he abolished that law and he became our Savior. They were so captivated with what the world says, with what the law says that you have to do or what you can't do, that they didn't even look at the king that was standing right in front of them, the one who was going to forgive her sins, the one that was saying, you know what, I don't care about what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did tomorrow or what you're going to do or who said what or this, that, and the other. He doesn't care, folks. He just wants you. We're going to keep reading. Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She looks around. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Go and sin no more. Stand up, child, because I took it to the cross. At this point, Jesus hadn't died on the cross, but he already put it there because he came to the world with a purpose. He came to the world to die on the cross for you and I. And when he said, get up and go, he had already nailed that woman's sin to the cross. Father God, Lord, I just pray right now, Father God, that you will just overwhelm this place with your presence, Father God. Holy Spirit, Father God, I pray that we will just capture your grace that you have for us today, Father God. Lord, I pray that right now, Father God, we will no longer look at what the world says, Father God. We will no longer look at what people may think, Father God. We're not going to worry about it, Father God. We are going to keep our eyes fixated on the one and the true, the one who died for us, the one who nailed our sins to the cross, Father God. So many times we get caught up with this daily grind and we look with our natural eyes. We look and we see what the enemy sees. We don't look through eyes of grace. We don't look through the eyes of Jesus who says, I love you. I don't care what you did. I don't care what's going on. I don't care where you're going, but I love you. That's what he said to the woman. Get up and go. Sin no more. I love you. I love you. Let's go. We never hear about the woman ever again. She went and sinned no more, apparently. That's God's grace for you today. That's God's grace for you tomorrow. That work he did on the cross 2,000 years ago, hanging there, beaten, bloody, scarred, unrecognizable as a human being. You were on his mind. And sometimes as Christians, as people that are in the church, we think that we need to act this certain way and we can't come out with what we've done. We can't air our dirty laundry out because, well, what's that guy going to think? What's pastor going to think? Tell you what. Jesus' grace is sufficient over everything. everything. Who cares? And if somebody thinks something because you came out and you said, I was so scared the day that I called my dad and said, you know what? I just had vomit of the mouth. You could ask him. I called him. I was sobbing so hard. I laid it out all on the line. And not only am I telling my pastor, but I'm telling my dad. You know what he said? Let's pray. Not, oh my gosh. How could you? I raised you better than that. I taught you not to do those things. What were you thinking? No. Let's pray. Let's take it to our daddy. Because he's the fixer of all problems. And that's all that matters. He made you. He can fix you like that if you're willing to be fixed.
I felt like the Lord gave me a word a while ago in the service, and before that, Barb's like, you have something you need to share. I'm like, I got nothing. I don't have anything I need to share. And then the Lord gave me a word, and Stephen told me I needed to say it, and Barb told me I needed to share it. And I'm like, no, it's not love and kindness and go home and feel good. And I was like, God, I don't want to share that. And I'm like, oh, well, the service moved on. It clearly wasn't. And then, of course, he sent my husband up here to be obedient. And so I just need to share what the Lord gave me. And it is a message of grace. So, you know, when people came up here today, I instantly felt like there was a spirit of religion. And people were judging people who were up here, and I just felt instantly so sad, because I felt like I was feeling the heart of God, of grace flowing out here on these people. You know, it doesn't matter what you come up here like. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your seat and you look like something. I've judged people up here, not recently, but you know, I've struggled with it. I've been as guilty as anybody for judging people, even in the church. You think, how pathetic, we're here. And you know, one thing that we have to remember is these people came up here, received the grace of God, and went back to their seats and received mercy. And the people who were sitting there judging them, what did they receive? They missed the entire move of God because they were busy judging the people up here who were receiving from God. And we as children of God need to realize there's grace. It doesn't matter what you've done. For my husband to get up here and share that in front of a bunch of people, some people he doesn't even know, I mean, that's the grace of God. Because he's not sharing, I did this, and he's not bragging about it. He's saying, I needed a Savior. We all need a Savior. We all need grace in our lives. And, you know, you may not be standing up here saying, well, this is what I've done and whatever, but there's grace for you. If you're someone who judged people up here today, yesterday, last Sunday, whatever, there's no people up here yesterday, but last Sunday or, you know, previously, God's grace is here for you today. And I feel like the spirit of religion needs to be broken off his people today. And I feel like, you know, this is a time, and I know we've been dealing with that at Transforms and stuff. Ada has something to say, too. I know we've been dealing with it at Transformed, but I really feel like the Spirit of God wants to break that in his people today, because we are not called to be religious people. The people who are judging that woman that Stephen read about were religious people. They weren't unsaved people. You know, the people who do most of the judging are religious people. In the world and outside of, you know, in church, wherever. It's the religious people. It's the people who know the word and whatever. And we're not called to do that. We're called to extend grace to God's people. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you've done, where you've been, what you just came in from church from. It doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't care. He wants to touch you where you're at today. And so I just want to encourage you guys. I feel like we should probably have an altar call. And if you've struggled with the spirit of religion this morning, yesterday, in your life, come up here and have the Spirit of God break that off of your life. We need freedom today, people. We need to be freed from the spirit of religion today.
Amen. Amen. God is so faithful. He loves us so much, every single one of us. You can stay up here if you wanted to stay up here. It's okay. You're good. Because that's what it's all about. It's about being in the presence of the King. It's about loving on Him. So we're going to do two altar calls, all right? And it's going to be hard, especially for those of us that are the religious ones. And I have a religious spirit a whole lot. I'm just being honest with all of you. I was raised in the church. I was raised to do things A, B, C, D, and E. Well, let me tell you, Jesus doesn't do things in a cookie-cutter way. Jesus doesn't come to you in the way you think he should come to you. Jesus came to the world and was born in a barn. The Savior of the world was born in a barn around poop and filth and dirtiness and everything you can imagine. An infant. Your Savior. The one who loves you. So, your right, my left. Over here, we're going to do the religious spirit. That God is going to break it off your life once and for all. Because let me tell you, I struggle with that spirit. And I'm like, God, take this from me, take this from me, take this from me. And then the next Sunday, I'm like, ooh. I'm like, wait, God, I told you to. And then we're going to do you captivating his grace. Is that good? If you haven't ever received God's grace, or you don't think his grace is sufficient for you, for the things you've done, for the stuff you've watched, for the people you've been around, for the things you did yesterday. God's grace is so strong for you. He's got a plan for you and a destiny that you couldn't even imagine. So we're just going to bring up a song. And if that's you, I want you to come forward. You don't have to stand on one side or the other. That's dumb. Because God knows your heart. I was just doing that for the sake of you knowing. You can stand wherever you want up here. And you don't even have to tell the person that's praying for you, because this is something between you and God. So it has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with my dad, has nothing to do with Pastor Josh. Nothing. Has to do with you and God. You go ahead and play that song, Uncle Jesse. Dear Holy Spirit, we just come to you right now, Father God. Lord, I surrender my spirit to you, Father God. Lord, I surrender that religiosity to you, Father God. Lord, I don't want that anymore, Father God. God, I pray that right now in the name of Jesus, you will break that off my life, Father God. Because I'm not guilty anymore, Jesus.
Doesn't matter where you're coming from.
doesn't matter where you've been. Hear me tell you, I forgive. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. You're not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. Can you believe that this is true? Grace upon the I am giving you, cleansing deeper than you know. All was paid for long ago. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy. You're not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. There is now. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter where you've been. Hear me tell you, I forgive. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. Can you believe that this is true? Grace is bondage I am giving you, cleansing deeper than you know. All was paid for long ago. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy. You're not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. There is now
I just want to share this verse. Pastor Josh has something also, but in John 8:44, Jesus gets into a dissertation with these Pharisees and Sadducees that probably saw him do all this stuff, and they're not too happy about releasing this woman caught in sin. And he ends up saying to them, you, because they're saying, Abraham's our father. Abraham's our father. Because Jesus is saying, God's my father. And he ends up saying, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what I wanted to communicate to you is that there is no truth in the enemy. There's absolutely no truth. And so I believe when we see ourselves in the condition that we're in because of his lies, because of the deception that he has brought into our lives that has allowed us to make choices and do things that have ended up being the very acts that separate us from God and keep us from his perfect will in our hearts, that it's a lie, and it's not the truth.
And what the truth is that Jesus has come and set us free. Jesus has come and abolished death, hell, and the grave, and sin. And that we are free. And whom the Son is free, set free, is free indeed. And that when we see ourselves in the condition today that may not look like what we think amounts to or measures up to God's standard, it's a lie. It is a lie. We're being deceived to believing that we're something that we're not. If we've received Christ, we are new creations. We're brand new. We're brand new. We say, Pastor Mike, I don't act that way. Well, that's just because there's a work being done inside of you. But don't believe your old way. Don't believe the way you're living today. Believe God. Believe that he's done a work that's eternal. He's done a work that's supernatural. Maybe you can't see all the evidence right now. But inside, deep in your heart, deep in your life, he's working.
And he's working and he's alive and he is powerful and high Ada. And he is doing a great work in you. And just the fact that you recognize, just the simple fact that you recognize that you're making some decisions and choices that are not pleasing to God says a lot. That says a lot. Just the awareness that you have of him, it says a lot. And let's not be fooled. He is alive and he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And a lot of it is breaking out of that old religious self. A lot of it is looking not with our eyes, but listening to the voice of God. Literally, listening to the voice of God. What is the voice of God like? Well, for me, oftentimes it's thoughts. It's God will speak to me through thoughts. I struggled for, I don't know if struggle is a word, but, I would hear people say, well, God said this and this, and I was like, what are they talking about? Well, I know, and I'm not saying he's restricted, but he's promptings, but a lot of times he speaks to us through our thoughts, and that's why it's important to renew our minds. That's why it's important to give our lives to him every single moment. Just like coming up here and being prayed for is awesome. And I believe what we're doing is we're pouring, if you will, gas on our fire that's already burning. But we have to pour gas, quote unquote, on our fire every day, every moment. So if you come up here today and you say, yes, I'm making a decision. I've been made aware. I have a religious spirit. I often think of things in a hypocritical way about others when I'm very guilty of myself of doing things, sinning differently, I guess. Well, that's fine. And I'm not going to try to underestimate the power of God. But if you don't do that very giving of the heart every moment of your life, then that only goes so far. You have to surrender your life to Christ all the time. So you come up here and, oh, I prayed for, this, and you go home, and then 2 days later, you're struggling with it. You need to give it to God. I recommend Jesus Calling. Anybody familiar with that? Jesus Calling? Yeah? If not, write it down. Take a mental note. Jesus Calling. There's some beautiful stuff in there. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking to, that's not my code. In the book of Matthew, that's not it. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is around the Pharisees again, who are the biblical example of religion, of hypocrites. And they keep asking Jesus for a sign. And he looks at them and he basically says, look, you can predict the weather, but you can't see the Son of God standing before you. You can look with your natural eyes and you're very aware and very alert to what's going on, basing all your decisions on that, but you can't look at me and see. You can't see the move of God around you, the beauty of God within this flesh. You know why they couldn't see it? Because they look with their natural eyes. It was already mentioned up here. Do you think they expected their Savior, the one who was going to save them literally from a whole an oppression, the Romans. He was the one that they saw coming to literally lift them out of poverty and slavery and mindsets. You think they pictured him coming as an infant, as Stephen said earlier, in a barn and around animals? I mean, do you think they pictured that? This guy who had not a penny to his name? Religion says do, but Jesus says done. Religion says you can only go this far, and Jesus says go. They're having a blast downstairs. I think we should all be down there, quite honestly. I think it's important for us to get this today, that whatever God does in our hearts, that as he is alive, he's an eternal God. So basing decisions with your eyes, with your feelings, with your emotions, it gets you so far. Does it feel good? Sure, sometimes it feels great, right? But how far does that get you until you need that feeling again? How far? Where Christ and living by the Spirit has eternal rewards. We're told to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy nor thieves can steal. How do we get that? I want that treasure. I have some nice things here on earth, don't get me wrong, and I appreciate them, but there's no comparison. I want love. God is love. I want love. I want to store up treasures in heaven. I want to love. So I'm just up here to say and encourage that it's love, that we have to listen to the word of the Lord, to the voice of God, that we have to literally empty ourselves and not look for the weather tomorrow and not base, like we're saying today, don't look at a person and say, oh, they this, oh, they that. Don't look at a situation, the disciples in the boat, and it's windy and stormy and they're fearing for their lives. I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't do that, to be honest. But Jesus come and he's sleeping on a pillow. He had a pillow. He had a pillow with him. Like he was planning to take a nap. But don't base your decision on the storms, the trials, the feelings, the hurts, those things, the very things that the enemy takes and says, guilty, no good, trash, Jesus doesn't love you, they don't want you. Those very things, don't base your life on those. Base your life on a relationship with Christ. Lord? What do you look with? Your eyes? Your feelings? I mean, our natural eyes are our feelings. They're our feelings and our emotions. They're the very things in front of you that you can touch and see. And our supernatural eyes is faith. Is faith. God is love. He loves us. He's doing a work in us. And we don't need to overlook that. God bless you. You've been touched today. You have. Today has been an awesome day. But let's be careful, because we still have the rest of the day and tomorrow and every day that the Lord will give us, right? So what you received and what you've experienced and how your heart's been touched here, we need to keep that before the Lord. Keep it going. Keep it going. It doesn't stop here.
Amen. It does not stop here. Continues. It is a full process. We're going to transition just for a moment. We've had great time in God, but I want to remind everyone about what we're going to be doing. Is it the, but when is the date that they need that? November 18th. So this is Operation Christmas Child. It's through Samaritan's Purse. Can you put that video on for Samaritan's Purse? And could you hit those lights back there, Stephen, so they can see it good?
So that was Operation Christmas Child. That's through Samaritan's Purse. And years ago, we actually did that, and we've brought it back to the church because my heart is such an outreach heart. I just love, especially this time of year, to give to people that wouldn't otherwise have if they didn't get it from us. And the very last scene that you saw, the children carrying the box on top of their head and walking out through, it looked like a field. Honestly, they walk miles and miles and miles to grab their box. I mean, this, they're so excited about it. So if it's on your heart as a family to pack up a shoebox, you wrap it in Christmas package, you wrap the top separately from the bottom, and then you pack it with the items that you find in the brochure. Then we're going to gather them all together, and we're going to take them to the place here in Yakima that is receiving them all, and then they will ship them to the headquarters of Samaritan's Purse and make sure that they get shipped overseas. So you can see it's a timely process. So we have to have them quickly in order for them to be able to ship them across the seas, and it does take quite a bit of time. So we appreciate anybody that wants to be a part of that. If you have any questions, you need a brochure, you need information on it, please see me right after the service, and I will make sure I have the things I can get them to you. And we just really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So she has them up here. I'd encourage every family to do it. I mean, because, you know, Christmas is about giving, not necessarily about receiving. I know the youth, that's sometimes hard to get. It's like, because I remember I was a kid, I want, you know. But for families to take some time and gather together the items that they're looking for and then to pack them in a box. And then if we get them done by, I guess, the 18th, we won't have to pay shipping. It will go with a large shipment to wherever they send it to their main distribution area. And so we'll save money that way. In other words, they'll be able to have more money for the ministry. So, Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you, God, that your truth is being revealed in our hearts. Your love is being just broadened in our hearts here today. And, Father, we just ask that you would just continue to do your work as we leave here. That your supernatural work of transformation would continue to take place. We love you, and we just thank you for your love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.